I'd like to welcome everyone to the Ordinary Council meeting of Brighton Council for the month of April. Thank you very much for your attendance. Welcome to councillors, senior staff. In accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2025, the chairperson is to make a verbal statement at the beginning of the meeting to the effect that an audio recording is being made of this meeting. All persons attending this meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. Brighton Council also acknowledges the Palawa Pakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provide them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item 3 is apologies and requests for leave of absence. All councillors are present. Item 4 is notification of leave of absence for parental leave. Once again, all councillors are present. Item 5 is confirmation of minutes, and 5.1 is confirmation of the minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting on the 17th of March. And they are included in our agenda and asking for them to be confirmed. Is there any questions or amendments? If not, can I have someone move? Moved by Councillor Della Torre, seconded by Councillor McMaster. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 6 is declaration of interest. Anyone like to declare an interest on anything on the agenda this evening? We'll note that there is no interest declared. Item 7 is public question time and deputations. There aren't any. Item 7.1 is public questions on notice. Once again, there are no questions. Item 8 is councillor question times, and 8.1 is councillor questions on notice. Once again, there are no councillor questions on notice. And 8.2 is councillors' questions without notice. Are there any questions for council this evening? If not, we'll move on. Thank you. Item 9 is reports from council. 9.1 is the mayor's communications from the 18th of March through to the 21st of April. There is one additional appointment to be added on there, which is today we had a media event down at the foreshore with state and which involved state and federal housing announcements with both federal and state minister and member for Lyons. So that took place today. Is there any questions, clarifications? Councillor Della Torre.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just note quite a few meetings at Tasway South. Just wondering if there's anything going on there that we need to be aware of?
No, the board meetings. I'm a member of the board for Tasway South, so that we just had a couple of... I think there was a... If I'm not correct, this month, we had some special board meetings in regards to the performance of the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
So to do his performance management for this particular year. And that was on the 31st, that was to tick that report off.
Yep.
And then we obviously had a forum on the 15th and a board meeting before that.
Perfect. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Is there any further questions? If not, can I have someone move those communications to be received? Moved by Councillor McMaster, seconded by Councillor Curran. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 9.2 is reports from council representatives. Are there any reports from councillors this evening?
Probably just a comment, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Paul Marshall passed away not long ago. Sherry Marshall's brother, he's been deceased. The two Marshalls owned land near our pine plantation. Both of them were renowned clay shooters. They represented Australia overseas quite often with that. So they was well known in the community as sporting shooters and that. So, and they was the driving force when they moved the system from where the army camp was up to Mangalore Strait there. So that was one of the driving forces behind getting that operational going there. So, longevity, I've known him for a long time. So, yeah, so that's the the whole family sort of going, not in December's left now, so yeah. But yeah,
things
nice fellow otherwise.
Councillor Irons.
Now, you just on the 11th of the 4th with your good self and Councillor Curran, Councillor Owen, we were freezing cold at the opening of the at the Ted Jeffries Memorial Park. But look, I just, main thing I wanted to mention was just how many people were there. Like, I haven't actually been there during one of the sporting sort of events where just little people running around everywhere trying to kick soccer balls and freezing parents. And then the amount of people that wear shorts is... If you sold track pants down there, you would make an absolute fortune, right? But I think it just really highlighted for me something that I always harp on about, was just seeing all the family members connecting on the sideline to be there, to be able to support one another and whatnot. I think, you know, having something like that there where everyone's coming together is very, very hard to put a value on, and just it really hit home for me why the upgrades were so important. So it was, yeah, it was great to be there.
See lots of positive comments about the canteen being inside and the outside area where you could get out of the wind and the rain. So,
yeah,
pretty happy.
It were, you're right. There were people everywhere, and the, we just need some heating. But there wasn't a parking space.
Yeah, in the parking's town. A problem. I've come back to me.
But it was a really big event. I mean, there were, the whole grounds were covered with kids. It was, apart from the weather, it was great. Really good. Good to see.
And Barb, I think you had the 150
years. Oh, yes, I went to the 150-year anniversary of Royal Life Saving and their award given to a young girl, which was very well deserved. That wasn't so cold.
Thank you. Is there anything further from any other councillors? If not, can I have someone move those reports be received? Moved by Councillor Della Torre, seconded by Councillor Curran. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 10 is miscellaneous correspondence. And there was an email there from, which is included in our agenda, from Roaring Forties Aero Modellers regarding their recent Trans-Tasman event held in Brighton. Item 11 is notification of workshops. And we had a workshop held on the 17th of March, and attendance colleges are noted on our agenda. Item 12 is notice on motion. There are no notice on motion. Item 13 is consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. There are no supplementary items this evening. Item 14 is reports from committees. There were no committee meetings held in April. Item 15 is petitions. There are no petitions. Item 16 is Council Acting Planning Authority. There are no planning items on tonight's agenda. Moving on, item 17 is officers' reports. And item 17.1 is a request to keep a walkway closed in Kamali Place in Herdsman's Cove. And hand over to Callum.
Sure thing. Thank you, Mayor. So Council have a number of historic leases on private property that exist over future walkways across the municipality. These leases are over parcels that have been earmarked for future walkways but not developed at the time of subdivision. So when establishing these leases, there was no short-term plan for including them in the active transport network. Now, many lease renewals in the future, priorities have changed, and as the term of these leases are coming to an end, Council have been endeavouring to improve connectivity and walkability across the neighbourhood, and in and doing so by not extending these leases to allow us to grow the network. After being advised that the lease at 4 Kamali Place, Herdsman's Cove, would not be renewed, the affected landowner contacted Council with concerns as per the letter attached to the agenda. Officers advised the leasee that despite appreciating the concerns raised, that the land is required to be added to our active transport network. So the report is presented to Council for consideration.
Councillors, I'll hand over if there are any questions of Callum on this particular item.
Actually, yes, Callum, I have a question. The land seems to back on, or the walkway seems to back on to just vacant land. So what's it connecting to?
Yeah, so this, I guess, is, you know, the potential for us to extend the active transport network and connect through. So that section of Gagebrook is fairly poorly connected to the shops on the other side and also through to the school without, I suppose, following the street So the intent or the thought being that providing, you know, active recreation through that reserve would be of benefit to the community.
No, I must admit I have concerns about because it's a big vacant piece of land. In a perfect world, there wouldn't be any hooning and people driving through there doing the wrong thing. I'm afraid I kind of sympathise with the owner of number four. I think you're opening yourself up to social problems.
Yeah, and I think I know where you're heading, Councillor Curran, with this one as well. And I suppose it might be worth noting that we have met with the Divisional Inspector of the Bridgewater Station recently to discuss some of the hooning activities and the electric bikes and so on and so forth that are being used across the municipality. And we're looking at ways that we can help address that. One of the challenges that we have is that to maintain wheelchair accessibility for our paths and trails and reserves also means that you can't limit the accessibility for those bikes, which is a real problem. But I suppose that we would like to not limit the accessibility of the trail network for the reason of people may access it and do the wrong thing on bikes.
It does, this is a comment, but it does significantly shorten the distance between that location and, say, Esmond's Cove Primary School. So it's significant for a child to be able to access that route rather than having to walk right the way around.
Yeah, the question I was going to ask is, like, I know putting a bollard, you've got to allow access for people in wheelchairs, but maybe, like, a chicane, but more than, I've seen it in other parts where they put a couple, so they've got to go like that, which tends to defer the bikes going through at a massive speed. If you only got one, they go straight through. They've got to slow up on either end.
Yep, and that sort of infrastructure is certainly something that we can look at as part of creating a trail.
Councillor De La Torre.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I noticed when I was having a look at the access points to that reserve, they're all pretty well blocked off with boulders and protected from vehicle access, except the entry next to 32 Holloway. Just wondering if we can have a look at that and look at installing some boulders along that entrance. It does look like there's quite a lot of evidence of vehicle access through there.
Yeah, certainly. We can look at that.
And probably worth looking at some additional boulders on the eastern end of Lamprell Circle as well. I know it's quite steep through there, but it looks like there is some access.
So the boulders don't tend to do too much to limit the e-bike access, but they do limit access for vehicles, which is obviously...
I noticed the resident was cognizant of a couple of vehicles being burnt out up there, so that would certainly eliminate that concern. If I may just ask another question. Obviously, these fences have been in there since the time it was originally constructed and fenced off. Who would be responsible for fencing what is for Kamali Place if we were to open that up?
So the property owner would be responsible for the boundary fence. Under the Boundary Fences Act, the property owner are responsible for the fence between their property and the reserve.
Is that reasonable in this scenario, given we gave them a lease for so long and that property would have already paid for fencing with the neighbour initially?
Look, I mean...
It's a new owner, so I think one of these, I guess, I'm not sure, but I think these are the properties that council built. And initially there was one fence put up, but there wasn't a fence put up. He's just put a fence across the front of the property to actually stop, I guess, at the expense of putting a fence up between the council walkway and his property.
I can continue.
You
know. I noticed in the correspondence from the resident, he says he's done a bit of consultation with the local community. Have we done any checks in with the local residents in that area to see who is in favour and who's not?
Not within the cul-de-sac. We have done consultation through the active transport work that we've been doing. Receive feedback around social pinpoint, not with respect to this pathway specifically, though.
Yeah.
I'll jump in with one quick one, if I may. Just in regards to this, we talk about the active transport network, Obviously, there is no formed path in the reserve behind this.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be inappropriate to suggest that we could keep it as is until such time as a formed path is there or budgeted for, and then we can obviously include that then in the active transport network? And I'm sort of thinking that most of the active transport network is through a series of formed paths,
sure,
and pathways rather than walking through a paddock.
Sure. There is, like that, that's obviously an option that we have. There are a number of informal pathways across the municipality that aren't, you know, concreted or asphalt paved that still do provide a connectivity benefit, I suppose, is the point to consider when making a decision.
Does it give us any liability issues there? Just through interest, if someone then uses the web, open it up and say go for it, and then they roll their ankle because it's not...
No, not if it's not a defined path and it's just an access through to the property reserve, then I don't believe there'd be any liability issues there.
Can I have one more question?
You may.
Has any investigation been done into how many people would use it if it were open?
It's probably a challenging thing to put a figure on, Councillor Curran, but we could estimate through the number of houses that would have the benefit of access through that section of the community relatively easily. I suppose if you're looking at a map, then you're looking at or considering the that kind of portion of Gagebrook where it's a shorter distance, because generally if there's a shorter distance, that will become the desire line for pedestrians.
So there hasn't actually been any demand or anybody asking for it to be opened up?
No, this is more just, a network approach to increasing the accessibility.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Councillors, any further questions of Callum? If not, we have a recommendation on page 10 of our agenda. The council resolved to open the public open space walkway located between 3 and 4 Kamali Place in Herdsman's Cove.
Have to move.
Thank you. That's been moved by Councillor Della Torre and seconded by Councillor Whelan. I now open it for debate.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think, as Councillor Owen has suggested, the distance for residents in this area to access both the convenience store and the school will be greatly reduced with access through this shared pathway. I think having greater access to this area will allow us to form up plans for better pathway interconnection with the existing pathways. Other streets in the area have access through similar pathways. We've got Birch Place and Kyle Place both having access. There's a couple of accesses off Holloway Drive. And we're not receiving calls daily on trying to close those due to antisocial behaviour. I think whilst I understand the residents' concerns, I think the benefits far outweigh the negatives in this case. Yep. I have to move it.
Thank you. Councillor Lynn, do you wish
nothing
to speak?
Further.
Do anyone wish to speak against the motion?
No.
Councillor Della Torre, wish to close?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Without any further ado, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 17.2 is a request for a rent reduction. Unit 1, 84 Jetty Road, Old Beach. Gillian.
Okay. So we've been approached by the tenant of Unit 1, 84 Jetty Road, Old Beach, who run a family therapeutic support for children and families business. When she first put into council, she was in, like, her business plan was really positive, and since then she's had a change in circumstances. So she's recently had a baby and also been given some health news which has impacted her ability to get up her billable hours. Ongoing from that, one of her main contractors also broke their leg, so they're unable to do the hours that they could do when she first did her business plan. And quite a few families have cancelled some of their sessions due to not being able to afford to the fuel to get to Old Beach. So she's requested that for the next 6 months, a reduction in rent of 50%, just to sort of get through this period of uncertainty. So this means that it's about a $10,000 reduction in rent that council will receive. However, I think it's a really important service to have in our municipality, and I'd like to for council to consider the 50% reduction in rent and that appear in the donation in the annual report for council.
Thanks, Gillian. Councillor Ryan.
Only one question. I'm in full support of doing this. I just sort of thought to myself, I'm not saying obviously anyone's saying things that aren't true or whatnot, but if other people just see that and go, okay, well, we can say someone broke a leg and someone did this, someone did that. Is there like a process to sort of get documented evidence just to have it on file so that way, you know, we're doing our due diligence to say that you absolutely meet the need of needing a helping hand? I know it's pretty easy if they're carrying a baby, but for the other, you know, I mean, I just, does it open the door for others to have similar stories that might not be, as I think this is a really important service and possible.
Yeah, yeah, we can request that. Obviously, there's other things in that she hasn't included in that letter that we have been informed over the phone with our risk and property officer that I didn't think that would be nice to have on
absolutely
the public record. But she's hoping that she'll get the clear sort of a clear bill of health in the next couple of months or in that 6 month period to be able to recommence back at work. As per for the other person that's broken their leg, we can actually go back to her and just ask for,
it's just a medical symbol, just something so we've done our due diligence.
Yeah, no,
you know, I know that's what we would certainly do throughout work when we've had similar situations. It's, and it doesn't have to be over the top or anything, but if there's some sort of a very quick forward process, it might just be a personal assessment by a staff member who writes a confidential report or whatever, just something to make sure it can't be. And again, that's just my opinion. Everyone else might say you're being silly, so that would be fine too.
No, I can definitely request that for her. And I guess, like, from council's point of view, if it is approved, we're giving a substantial donation. So we need to have that proof.
Well, she could have a statutory declaration to say about the person anyway. You could do it that way if you wanted to. That way it's a legal document.
Just something.
Way you've got it on record.
Councillor Della Torre.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm really struggling with this one. I think it is a really valuable service, and we should try and do everything we can to keep it in our community, but it is a commercial business, and they're on a commercial lease, and I don't think we'd be offering a $10,000 donation to any other commercial business in the municipality. I'm really struggling with that. I don't believe they're a charitable organisation in any way. So I guess there has to be a question there.
I'm sure that was a question.
Yeah, it was just a question framed in a weird way, I reckon.
So maybe are you thinking of maybe 3 months?
Would a 3 month
is that the question?
Reduction be more appropriate?
Could we potentially give a 3 month reduction, but then pick it up at the final 3 months, like after, like at the end of the year? So it's kind of shifted, so maybe we still get the total amount of the lease, but it's
deferred.
The time frame is deferred. So, I'm just thinking on the top of my head. So, you can have a 6 month reduction, but the final 6 months you pay extra. Like, that could be an option when they're back on their
deferred 50% charge.
Can I just ask, is there any information that you can't tell us in open council that you could disclose to us in closed council that would make a difference to our understanding of the situation? So I'm more than happy to defer this to the closed session. No, it's just a question. Thank you. Councillors, any further questions?
After hearing what I've heard around the table, I'd be prepared to move a motion that said for 3 months, and then the addition of the word subject to the receipt of evidence to substantiate the circumstances claim to be reviewed in 3 months' time.
Does everyone understand what that motion was?
Yep.
To reduce the rent for 3 months and to ask for evidence.
And I'll second it.
In those words that Councillor Owen just offered. Yep.
I'll second that.
That's been moved by Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor Geard. I'll open the floor for debate. Councillor Owen?
Look, we've asked questions. We understand the situation. I'd hate to see us put the operator or that person into a situation which is clearly off, ask for assistance. I would hate to, at this particular time, to put her in a situation where she might have to cease operation.
Thanks, Councillor Owen. Councillor Owen.
Yeah, so I'd just like to thank well, Councillor De La Torre raised a point I hadn't considered at that point, and I think that's a very, very valid point, which certainly made me stop and think a little bit. I think probably where I land a little bit is that, you know, that might be a commercial business. When we're talking child therapy services, we know the further people have to go, the less likely they are to attend those places. So I still think it's got sort of that value, and you know, it sort of made me think, I would hope maybe even commercial businesses outside of that space, if they're facing hardship, we might be able to, you know, just know what we can do to help. We do for a lot of other causes, but yeah, so I would still land absolutely in support of the revised motion and revisiting it, but I certainly think that's a really valid point by Councillor Del Torre. Mm.
Thanks. Is there any further, Councillor Del Torre?
I might just close the loop on that. I think with the change in the motion there and Councillor Owen's suggestion of a three-month waiver, I think with my sensible hat on, it would cost us more than 3 months rent to find a new tenant for that building, and it would make far more sense to provide a waiver. So I will support that amended motion.
Okay. Councillor, is there anything further? Councillor Owen, do you wish to close?
No. No.
Thank you. Without further ado, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 17.3 is a request for fee waiver for the Civic Centre for the Butterflies and Boots Gala Ball. Gillian?
Boots Scooting.
So Council have received a request for a waiver of higher fees yet again for the Civic Centre. Council will recall that last year was the inaugural Butterflies and Boots Gala Ball, which was held at our Civic Centre, and it was a time for ladies to come together that have been affected by domestic violence, and they were able to feel really beautiful and be nurtured and just have a really great time together in the safety of other women. So I know that the organisers have addressed council with what they stand for and what they hope to achieve with their organisation. So I think their request to waive the higher fees of the Civic Centre is a really valid one, and I think it's really important that Council do this for supporting these people, especially considering there are a lot of people in our municipality that are affected by domestic violence. So they've requested the full higher fee of $488 be waived for their event that's occurring on the 30th of May this year.
Councillors, any questions of Gillian? Councillor De La Torre?
Sorry, me again. I just wondered whether this might be one that we consider a multi-year sort of arrangement for.
Yeah.
I can't find the motion we moved. I thought it was last month, must have been the one before, where we provided ongoing waiver of those fees for a similar sort of scenario.
Yeah.
Just wondering whether we might be able to look at an amendment to enable that in this case.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be happy with that, Gillian?
Yeah. I think, did we do it for the quilters?
The quilters.
Would you put a time frame on that, Councillor De La Torre, or I mean, for 5 years, for 10 years?
Does anyone recall what we did for the quilters?
Infinity and beyond.
I think things can change. They might change their tone or whatever, maybe 3 years.
I'd be happy with three just to stop the administrative burden on officers. And then we can review it at that point. I'm happy to move such a motion.
Excellent. First of all, is there any other questions? If not, we have a motion that's been moved by Councillor De La Torre and seconded by Councillor Curran. Open it for debate.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I would only echo the sentiments that have already been mentioned by Gillian, that we do have an unusually high incidence of family and domestic violence in our municipality. It is a scourge on our society, and anything we can do to support those who are going through that situation is vitally important. Having grown up in a family with domestic violence, an event such as this for my mum would have been very helpful, so more than happy to support.
Thanks. Councillor Curran?
I don't think there's anything left to say. No.
Thank you. Is there anyone wish to offer any other input?
Agreed.
If not, I'll... Councillor, you wish to close?
Not at all.
Thanks. Thank you. Without further ado, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Thank you. Item 17.4 is approval of council park name. Gillian again.
Oh.
Budget, even the next one too.
This one's kind of like a red tape one. So it's just to, we've been approached by the Department of Natural Resource and Environment to say that how we refer to parks haven't been officially approved. So this is just really for council to officially approve the names of Pontville Park, Remembrance Park, Swan Park and Child's Drive Park as official place names for our for these areas. Just because unofficial place names can create issues with legal documents, community confusion, emergency responders delays in response times, as well as non-compliance, and in some cases doubling up of park names across different local government areas. So it's just hopeful that council will approve these park names, and then they can be submitted to the place name advisory panel at the Department of Natural Resource and Environment to be ticked off.
They're looking for work, are they?
They're looking
for work, are they?
Of course not.
I'm happy to move it.
Second.
Thank you. Is there any questions before I... No, it's been moved by Councillor Geard and seconded by Councillor Murtagh.
Well, the only thing I can say, Mr. Mayor, going back when I joined council, we had Broadmarsh Road, which was in the same boat. It was a name that the council decided to do that was never... And the this proper original name that they had in Hobart was Elvesley Road, hence it's been called Elvesley Road. So I can understand where you're coming from this one. So the two names, and it does actually create a problem with emergency services and tourists outside the area as well looking up something.
Thank you. Is there anything further? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Thank you. Item 17.5 is the Brighton Show, reduction in show damage charges. Mm. And hand over to, guess who? Gillian.
This one's been going on for a little while. So we had our Brighton Show in November, on November the 9th. As a result of that, there was substantial damage done to Gun Oval. So leading up to that, we had a lot of rain during the week. It was decided on the Friday that some committee members spoke with our acting work supervisor, and he they basically said that we weren't going to have the amount of rain that was forecast, and that they would do a check on Gun Oval on the Saturday afternoon and the Sunday morning before they put the trucks on there. So they were pushing to have the trucks on Gun Oval because it's a nice sort of area for the trucks to be displayed on, and they also had a special guest from Outback Truckers that was coming to the show. So obviously a lot more trucks were being attracted this year than in previous years, and they didn't want the exhibit to be over the back where people couldn't see. During that time, and I've included the photos that were taken, there's been a lot of damage done to Gun Oval. They they didn't have the ability to fix the damage. They said that they have got access to sand and plant machinery, so they've actually disputed the cost that we invoiced them, which was $21,641. That paid for the hire of a roller. It was our guys' cost to fix that oval, and also we had to reschedule some cricket games for the following 2 weeks that were scheduled on Gun Oval. They've had their AGM and they've come back to us to say that they're happy to pay $8,000 towards the damage, but they did sign an MOU back in 2024 to say that any damage that occurs as a result of the show, they will pay for. There isn't anything in that MOU, though, that specifies the process that should be followed. So they're saying that they could have just got on the roller, fixed the oval and off we go. We wouldn't have known that anything would happen. This wouldn't be the case. If we got damage on a road, you wouldn't see somebody coming along and just bit of tar and off they go. So whilst they've offered to pay $8,000 towards the work, I believe as a show of good faith, we should say to them, you need to pay half, like in council will pay half. So, and then when the MOU is renegotiated this year, that it actually has clear instruction of the process that should be followed for any damage that occurs during the show.
Fair enough. Gillian, do you want to just cover off on the meeting that we had with them?
We had a meeting with them back in February with some members from the committee and also members of council. That it's been a really heavy process, to be honest. A lot of he said, she said sort of things. They decided, like as a result of that meeting, that the result that they would like would be a reduction in the bill. And they thought that they would, if they had have been given the opportunity, so if council had have sort of had a meeting with them on the Monday, they think that they would have been able to access materials at a reduced rate and also the plant that our ovals people could have used, which would have saved us actually hiring the plant equipment that it took to fix the damage. It was a very heated conversation.
It was getting probably, if I may say, a little bit silly, that it was just going round and round in circles. I interjected, as I probably shouldn't do, but I do sometimes, and said, listen, let's not continue just to go round and round in circles and argue. What do you actually want? Do you want a reduction in the bill or a full waiver? And they basically said, oh, we want a reduction. Mm. And I said, well, send a letter to council requesting a reduction in the charges, and obviously that's brought us round to today. But I must say, and I will add, that our staff participated in that meeting, listened, and certainly argued on our council's and our ratepayers' behalfs to try and get a resolution. But it was never going to be resolved on that day without someone basically saying, make an offer, and that's the offer we have on the table this evening.
That's pretty much. They haven't actually gone into any detail in their letter, as you're aware, to say, well, how they've come up with the $8,000 or how much donations they would be able to access. So I'm not quite sure how that figure's been brought up. I don't know whether it's the amount that they have in the bank account. Obviously, I'm not sure if they're even not-for-profit. I'm assuming they would be, and they run on a lot of volunteers. So while I appreciate that it is hard to get this show up and running each year and the volunteers are sort of like few and far between, I do believe that they do need to pay something towards it, and I believe that being like charged half is a fair result.
Yep. Councillors, any questions? Councillor Irons.
It's very complex. Well done for having to do it. It's the worst part of any job, these sorts of things, I think, at the end of the day. And like, I think it is hard if there was due process, because if it's me, and I knew I could get something cheaper. You know, if I wasn't approached to have that opportunity or something, I would probably be in a similar boat. But I just wondered, like, I mean, insurance, I'm guessing because it's damaged due to their own actions. Like, I just would have thought maybe there was something that in the process they have to show they have insurance for something like this. Is that not...
Yeah, they do have insurance. So I'm not actually quite sure why they haven't approached the insurance
initially. That for me is the huge part of it. I mean, if this is an insurance issue and they can pay for it, then it should be in full. It shouldn't cost our ratepayers anything. My thought would be that if it's due to mistaken action, that maybe it's not covered. But for me, that question should be asked because it greatly changes what I would lean towards on this.
True. I think it'd be duty of care, because in the past, I know Rob Bark and Rec Chairman had to drive around the outside, so there was no one actually looking after us, from what I've been told. So, yeah.
No, there is footage of the trucks leaving the grounds
straight across.
And it hasn't actually gone around the...
And in past shows, that was part and parcel of putting the trucks on the vehicle, on either ground. They had to drive around the outside, never across the middle. So when there was towards the end, when the show was going, I wasn't at the show because I was away. Normally, what they had is someone there directing the trucks to go back. So I reckon that's they fell down. So I doubt very much insurance would cover, because the duty of care not having someone to direct them.
Councillor Delatorre.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Have we sought legal advice on the wording of the MOU? I mean, to me, it seems pretty clear. It would be the responsibility of the Brighton Show to pay for any damages, not to rectify. Have we sought legal advice?
No, it's not legally not binding. It's an MOU.
Have we considered changing from an MOU to a formal contract?
We might.
We will.
Thank you.
We will.
Can I?
Councillor
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The Brighton Show Society, do they pay anything to have that site on that day?
No. I think in the annual report, I'd have to look, but it's probably about a $30,000 donation that we give for them to have that site for the full 7 days.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. So they don't just have it for a day, they have it for a whole 7 days?
The MIU, they have it from Monday to Monday.
At no cost?
At no cost.
Okay, thank you.
That's wrong. Yeah, if it was something that, again, I still think the insurance issue should be asked, I'll find it very hard to go on this, but if it were a case of dollars, because if there's clearly something that was done that shouldn't have been done and the general feel is that the wording is acceptable, I mean, is it something that could be offered, like, as a payment plan over a couple of years? They've got a chance to generate some income from other shows, or 3 years or something, so it's not wham bam?
Yep, definitely.
Can I make just one more comment? Surely they knew that it had been raining, the ground was wet. I mean, everybody would know. You would think that most people would use their common sense and think this is too wet for a heavy vehicle, let alone trucks.
So what happened is on the morning they said that they checked it again, and as the day went on, the heat of the day brought the moisture up. Correct me if I'm wrong, brought the moisture up, which then led to the undulation of the trucks on the site. So that's what they have said.
The heat of the day not have dried the ground out.
Yeah.
So maybe they felt pressure too, because they had this invited guest.
Good learning lesson for them.
Without taking any appropriate action. But anyway.
They were reminded that they were having to pay any damage that would happen as a result of the show. So
I might be being a bit harsh, but I actually think they should pay the full amount. I mean, they were aware that they were not to use the ground if it was wet. There was a memorandum of understanding. They didn't get that right, sorry. My personal view is that I wouldn't give the discount. I understand it's harsh, but they had the whole week for $30,000, so they had the donation from council anyway, and I'm very surprised that they wouldn't understand that that ground wasn't acceptable for trucks
They could argue a point that we didn't stop them using it as well, so that's another point. That's why I find that you've done here is probably the right thing at the moment. Can we get the MOU and the legal documents done correctly in the future? Because with other organisations, we have stopped them using it,
so we put it back onto them.
Yeah,
we,
I know. But that's how much legal.
Yep, the foreman of Ovals, he was dead against any trucks going on his sports grounds at all.
Yes.
And our acting work supervisor put it back, the onus back on them. He didn't want anything to do with it at the end. So
fair enough.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it was totally their decision that they have made, and they knew that they had this MOU in place that they were responsible for any damage.
Ask a question, please, Mr. Mayor, and it will be a question.
Councillor Owen, you may.
They have admitted responsibility.
Yes.
But on the other hand, it would seem that no expense was spared in the repair. Have they got a valid argument to say that the job wasn't contracted out to get it remedied in an appropriate time?
I could potentially take that if you'd like, Jill. So the standard of the facility at Pontville is high, and to maintain a facility at that level, it cannot be a backyard repair. So for us to be able to host the level of sport that we do at that facility, allowing them the opportunity, although they make the case that they would have liked the opportunity to at least make an attempt to repair the oval. It is hard to imagine them being able to maintain a facility to the level that our experienced ground staff can.
Right. Now, the staff that actually did it were our employees.
Correct.
Would they be doing something else if they hadn't been employed on that, and that cost council money?
Potentially. They're taken away from, I guess, whatever they normally
duties,
would do on that. It took a guy, I think, three or four days to roll that whole oval. And you can't just roll the bits that are, like, up and down. You've got to roll the whole oval so it's all in the right sort of trajectory and stuff like that. So, yeah, I just thought you get on the roller and go forward and back.
I can see their argument in one respect, and I can see council's argument. Mm. So, you know, meeting halfway would seem to be a reasonable solution.
There's also the issue of the fact that we had to postpone two cricket matches that were supposed to be played.
Well, how much did that cost?
I don't know.
Very much. Given our ground hire fees.
Well, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with what's here anyway.
Got two more questions from councillors. Councillor Owen,
I'm fine, thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Irons and then Councillor Della Torre.
Thank you. Just following up from that, Callum, while Jill's looking that up, agreeing very much with Councillor Owen's question, the other thing they said they might be able to get discounts on was material or potentially the hire. Let's just say they could.
Mm-hmm.
How many dollars would that have saved? Like, should three-quarters the amount and the opportunity for a three-year payment plan or something, does that sound more reasonable to you or not?
Yeah.
Like, could there really have been a significant saving there?
I think with council's purchasing power, the agreements that we have in place on materials are probably about as good as you can obtain them in the market.
Sure. Definitely.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Callum, I was on that oval that day and it was very soft underfoot just to walk on. There was a lot of other vehicles on the oval. Were they instructed for the smaller vehicles to stay off the oval or just the trucks? Or?
I think they had a ute show in the middle as well, because I walked across there as well and thought, oh, they're on the oval. There was a lot of utes in the middle and the trucks were parked around. I'm not quite sure, because that's all to do with the show. So they've directed that traffic onto that oval.
Thanks, Jill. Councillors, we have a recommendation which is on page 19 of our agenda, which indicates that we will ask them to pay 50% of the damage bill.
Yep.
Totalling $10,820.65, and that the MOU is renegotiated this year, and obviously a clause added that gives clear instructions of the process that should be followed for any damage that occurs during the show. I'm in your hands.
I'm happy to move it.
Councillor Geard has moved it. Recommendation.
I don't know the process. Just if I wanted to move something different to that, do I wait for this first and then?
I can take your motion on as waiting. So if this first one fails, then we have an alternate motion that can be then be put.
Okay.
Unless there is no seconder for Councillor Geard's moving the recommendation.
There was a second.
Is there a seconder for that?
I'm happy to withdraw it.
Happy to withdraw, Councillor. Have you got an alternative?
I would like to suggest 3/4, but I think giving potentially 2 or 3 years, whatever people are happy with, to repay it back. I think that allows, you know, a bit of understanding for the fact that maybe the paperwork could have been a little bit tighter and, you know, we can get better things in place next time. But also, to me, it's sounding fairly clear, and I think that's giving a bit while setting up better. That would be my feeling, as well as investigating whether insurance can cover any of it from there. And if they could, then it should be the full amount.
So can I get it right? You asked them to pay 3/4?
3/4, yep. Right. 3/4 with the option to pay it off over 2 or 3 years, if that makes it easier.
Yep.
Yep, over 2 or 3?
I think if it's, the dollar's $8,000 a year, I'd say. For me, 3 years, I think, is if they're really stuck. Mm.
Yep, 3 years.
Mm.
Yep. Is everyone familiar with that? That motion is now?
Yeah.
3/4 of the damage bill over in 3 equal instalments over 3 years.
I agree with that.
Is there a seconder for that motion?
Mm-hmm.
Could I ask for a point of clarification and see whether Councillor Irons would be happy with including the fact that we negotiate a formal contract rather than MOU?
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
Yep.
So that additional part, as in the second part of the original recommendation?
And I'd really like to see the lawyers have a look at it as well before we have that full contract to make sure it's right, it's well into it.
So that new motion has been put by...
Sorry.
Do you like
to clarify one other thing? Are we asking for them to clarify that their insurance won't cover it as well?
Mm. You can do.
And they should probably have cover going forward to make sure if it were to happen again that it's covered.
Do we need to include that in the motion?
If we move the motion as it is, then their insurer would be covering $16,000 rather than the full amount.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you want the insurance to cover it, we should probably have that in the motion.
Yeah.
It's just if insurance did cover it, then it's the full amount, which is only fair to our rate.
to include in correspondence a request.
Got one live claim with the insurer and everybody.
A
question in regards to insurance coverage?
They would have to.
Yeah, maybe just a point of clarification, Mayor. I don't know whether we will be able to determine whether their insurance company covers the claim until they've received an invoice and have submitted it.
Given what the amended motion is, my recommendation would be that's the motion, and it's up to them whether they try to get it covered through insurance or otherwise. I think we probably it's questionable what our role is in that. Given what we're asking for now.
Sure. Thank you.
Motion on the screen there has been moved by Councillor Irons.
I'll second that one, because that sounds better.
Councillor Geard. I'll open the floor for debate.
Thank you. I see it is a really tough one, because I feel for the people involved. It takes one person making a decision they shouldn't have, and away it goes. But that also comes down to the planning of an event like this. If you're doing something like this, you've got to have people taking responsibility and saying, let's make sure X, Y, Z doesn't happen. You know, obviously it's a really important thing in our municipality, and as was mentioned, it has to be very strong. So I just don't want to seem that we don't care about the situation that they're in, but our job is to represent our ratepayers. They should be paying for that when they didn't do the damage. So I think this is a happy medium, which still also then gives a bit of support to something that does bring people into our municipality and can be a good learning experience. But I think tough all round for everyone, I think, and I'm pretty comfortable with where it's landed.
I agree with actually the time lag or something I never thought of. It's giving, because the next show could be rained out, so therefore they'll probably be in the financial problem. And I'm not sure what their financial situation at the time is, but giving that extension on the time to pay it is really a brilliant option, I think. That's why I totally agree with it.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Villatoro.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I won't be supporting the motion. Whilst I think the amendment goes some way to addressing the concerns, I think a decision was made on the day against council advice, and the standard that we need to keep this ground at required our remediation. I think we have incurred the costs. Someone should pay those, and I don't think it should be our ratepayers. So I won't be supporting the motion. I'll foreshadow a motion that we refuse, or probably doesn't need a foreshadowed motion if it fails. So I just won't support the motion.
No. Thank you. Is there anything further?
No, I won't support the motion either. I really do. I'm sorry, but I think that I don't see how ratepayers should have to pay for this.
Thank you.
Just thought I'd turn it.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I won't be supporting the motion. Being there on the day, I don't think anyone responsible for that oval would have driven any vehicle on it. That's the way I see it.
Excellent. Anything further? All right. I'll put that motion to the vote. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. And against? You, Councillor Della Torre. You have the motion is lost. Yep.
Yep.
You will shadowed motion.
Do we need one? If that motion was lost, the default would be to require them to pay the full amount, presumably.
No, I think you need.
Yeah, that's your new motion. Okay. Yes.
I'm happy to. How about I move a motion that they're required to pay 100% of the rectification costs, but provide them with the 3-year time frame to do so.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that motion?
Yes,
seconded
by
Councillor Curran. I'll open the floor for debate.
No.
I don't think I need to add anything further, Mr. Mayor. I think we've had good conversation.
Thank you. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
Yes.
Against. Councillor Owen is against. The motion is carried. Thank you. Once again, thank you.
Who seconded the motion?
Barb.
Curran.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Councillor Curran.
Thank you for the way in which that was discussed. All the great questions, and I'm sure they were all questions of staff. So thank you for that, and I think that says a lot about the maturity of this group of 9 individuals. We can have a discussion in regard to that, go a little bit round in circles, but come out with a consensus. So thank you very much for that. Item 17.6. A draft Brighton and Pontville local area plan for community consultation. And should we hand over to Gillian or...?
No idea on this one.
No way, you see.
Brian? Thanks, Mayor. So, as you can see, there's an item there, an item which is the draft Brighton and Pontville local area plan, a draft, and we're seeking endorsement for it. To go out for consultation for a period of 1 month. So you all were present, I think, for the workshop. So just to give a really high-level summary, I suppose the BLAC, we'll call it, provides a coordinated place-based framework to guide future growth development investment across Brighton and Pontville. The local area plan is a specific recommendation of the council-endorsed Brighton Activity Centre strategy, which recommended that we plan for Brighton to be an aspirational higher-order centre, given it will be our most popular suburb by 2046, huge state investment in the high school, and also the... All those other strategies that we've endorsed recently, the council endorsed, like the urban space strategy and all those things. So trying to bring that all into one document, especially one that's easy to understand for the community and based around some high-quality mapping. So, I mean, some of the key recommendations of the BLAP would be a fair bit of rezoning of the activity centre core to inner residential zone, which is pretty new for Brighton, to encourage those increased densities around the activity centre, and also some recommendations to increase the building height within the business zone in Brighton. So there are a couple of the main planning recommendations, and then there's a whole lot of public realm plans and movement network plans and recommendations in there as well. And also it's important to note that there's a recommendation in the BLAP that it's reviewed every 12 months or so. So it's obviously going to be a bit of a fluid document. So that's a summary of the BLAP.
Just one question through you, Mayor. We'll go on to community consultation. You said 4 weeks. 4 weeks enough for something that's critical?
Yeah, I mean, that was just a number we kind of picked up. But, yeah, absolutely. Longer's, there's no real...
There's no rush.
No.
Would six be...
Through you, Mayor, we generally stick to 4 weeks because people can sometimes say, "Oh, I'll get to that," and then leave it. We find that 4 weeks is more than sufficient for these type of reviews.
Should that then be reflected in the recommendation?
Four weeks.
Yeah.
We can place that in. Yep.
What's probably a clarification, but what's in our public consultation policy?
I don't think it specifies, no.
Yeah, cool.
Our standard process for your mayor is 4 weeks.
Thank you. There is plenty of opportunity for people to offer input in regards to whether it be a 4 or 6 week process. And obviously, you mentioned in your summary, Brian, that obviously rezoning applications would form part of that as well. So that would be additional processes that would give the public opportunity to either agree with or object to.
That's right. That's right, Mayor. As James was saying earlier, we've got a big 12 months of implementing all our good work, and I dare say things like the inner residential rezoning would be one of them, and then people get an opportunity again to comment on that.
Yep. Thank you. Councillors, any other questions? Councillor?
The only other thing, I'd be happy with the recommendation. I'm just a little bit concerned about calling it a BLAP and leaving the P out of the shortened name, and I'm not too sure how to overcome it. But I think there should be some... It is the... Well, you've put Pontville in there, so why call it a BLAP when it's a Brighton and Pontville local area plan?
I think our council can take that on board.
That was just what we've been calling it since day one, and it's just got a bit of a ring to it, but I understand it doesn't include Pontville.
Nice to put the other P in it for people to understand that there's something else there.
Councillor Wheeler.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. When it was drafted and they reached out for consultation, was that with just major shareholders? How was that process?
So we, council officers, we identified... I mean, we called them key stakeholders, and they attended that workshop. And yeah, it was basically people who own significant sites or like strategic sites, or people who were business owners, like I think we invited most business owners in Brighton, and you know the CEO of Racing Tasmania got invited, the pub, Durius, Theo, on the corner there, the IGA. So there wasn't any specific science to it, but it was like people we thought were that had some role or key interest in it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned that we got probably some weighted comments, like say the horse racing precinct, for example. If we talk to horse racing, Tas Racing,
yep.
They're going to give a fairly weighted sort of suggestion their way, whereas there's probably 30 owners within that SAT, for example. And then I think that probably occurs if you talk to about the school farm, you talk to Education Tasmania, you're probably going to get a fairly weighted response their way as well, whereas I don't know, I'm sure there's plenty of parents that probably want some car parking down there or something. I understand it's a draft, and I understand we've got to start somewhere, but I think we need to be very good about the way we reach out for the second lot of consultation, because I think things could sort of move fairly firmly the other direction in some of these areas, if you think that's fair, sort of thing.
Well, I think we're... So the plan for the next stage is to send a letter to everyone within the activity centre core, and everyone in Pontville in the study area. And I think just regarding the horse racing SAP, we did have regard to what we've heard over the last little while about that SAP, how it probably isn't doing what it's meant to do, and so there is a recommendation in there for us to do some consultation separate to the BP LAP.
Yeah.
And I think through you, Mayor, that effectively we did go for the survey that went out. Part of the process will be making sure that we go broad and put up lots of advertising to make sure people can have their say.
Yeah.
And then once we have that say, we'll be able to then sort of come back to council and workshop it again.
Does it coincide with maybe the newspaper, the next edition or something?
Yes. Yep.
Excellent. In the recommendation, just another question, can we call it the draft plan, not just the plan?
Councillor Whelan, have you got any further? Councillor Della Torre?
Well, just carries on from Councillor Whelan and just asking the question as to whether that community consultation could include a public forum of some description, drop-in session, like we've done in the area previously.
Through you, Mayor, we don't have that within the budget with the consultants. However, we're happy to investigate to see whether that's something we could do with internally.
We actually did a fair bit of the consultation at the council officer level, given that the budget was pretty tight for this kind of a project. So Alex and I were meeting people on site and sitting in people's lounge rooms and whatever. So, yeah, we're happy to have a chat about that.
I certainly know the amount of work that you've done on this plan, so I'd be pretty comfortable with you guys doing the consultation in the community forum.
So am I given to understand then that the period for consultation will commence to coincide with the distribution of our local Brighton community news?
Through you, Mayor, we'll make sure that we'll align those dates fine, so that way it gets advertised at the start of the consultation period.
Yeah, lovely. Well, through you, Mayor, we'll also use Facebook, obviously.
Anyway,
potentially hits more people as well than the paper these days.
Just a question. So the most of the thing the lap team was looking at is mainly in the blue dot at the zigzag lining, the other ones. That's our main thing we're looking at, not the other ones on the outside.
Correct.
Because there hasn't been enough consultation on the outside ones.
Correct.
I know that. I can tell you that now. Otherwise, if that's the case, but it's in the draft.
Through you, Mayor, that's the suburb of Brighton.
Yep.
And so the blue area is the study.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with what's in there, and I think that what's come up is actually brilliant, especially with the close, like I mentioned before, the close frontages and everything else, and even going to two squares. Gone's the day when you're going to put a house, you know, a shop there and that's it. Nowadays it's a shop and two stories above it, so the people in the shop can live above it. And that's common sense because they can't afford another house in their business as well. So that's the way the world's going. Gone's the day when we quarter acre block and have something separate. Got to get with the rest of the world.
Del Toro.
I'm happy to move the motion if there's no further
questions. Thank you. So we had a couple of slides amendments. The council endorsed the draft Brighton and Consul local area plan. The community consultation, did we want in there a period of 4 or 6 weeks? For a period of 4 weeks. Is there a seconder for that motion? Seconded by Councillor Curran. I'll open it for discussion and debate.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. More than happy to move this one for public consultation. As a member of the steering committee on the production of this, I've seen the iterative process that's gone on to get us to this point. There has been a lot of work that's gone into the plans and the document itself to make sure it is user-friendly and understood by the community. As we heard in the workshop, it does incorporate about a dozen different strategies and planning documents, so it's a huge amount of work to try and coordinate all of that into one plan that delivers for the suburb of Brighton and Promptville. It delivers a strategic approach for the next 20 years, and it goes some way to pushing us towards that strategic vision that we have of Brighton being the regional hub that we all know it already is. I think it puts a bit more pressure on the state government to reintroduce that into Strillis with a review of the current drafting. I think one of the benefits here is it does create that strong separation between Brighton suburb and Pontville. There's that real break in between. It does secure the farming areas around the outside and gives us a nice structured plan for how we can incorporate the positive changes in those suburbs, allowing us to bring more tourism into Pontville and allowing us to bring more commercial entities into Brighton and increasing the density of residential areas in a strategic way. I really like the inner residential zone that's being created around that commercial zone, and I think I ask the public to review that and give us their feedback on that. And I would just remind councillors that this is the draft plan and we're asking for public consultation, not endorsing the plan for the final time. It will come back to us for further amendments.
Thanks, Councillor Del Toro. Councillor, is there anything further?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. This was something I pushed for a little while, so I appreciate the councillors adding it to the budget and for the Mayor and Councillor Del Toro for jumping on, and in particular Brian and Alex for getting it to start. I think it's a great start. I probably would have liked a bit more than 20 minutes to workshop the strategy and probably more than 3 or 4 days to read it, but we're here, so let's get it moving, I suppose. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Whelan. Councillor, is there anything further? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 18 is closed meeting. We have under Regulation 17, the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulations 2025, provides that Council may consider certain sensitive matters in a closed meeting. The recommendation is that we move into a closed meeting in regards to item 18.1, outstanding breaks on multiple properties.
Second it.
It's been moved by Councillor Geard.
Councillor Owen.
Councillor Owen.
I'll second.
And seconded by Councillor Geard. Any discussion or debate? Not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Thank you.